This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine every Saturday 10 till 12.
Well, they say it is the season invented for gay men. It is, of course, awards season in around the world for films and television. We've seen the Golden Globes already this week. Of course, the BAFTAs coming in the UK, and then we get to the Oscars. And so we had to call Stephen Russell into the studio to have a look at some of those films that may or may not, or should not, perhaps would be the better way, see themselves up for awards. I want to start with the bad one. Everybody is going mad for La La Land with Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone. It won Best Film, both actors winning the awards in their categories. I have spent a lot of time over the last 5 years going to cinema, going to the movies with younger people, and therefore seeing films that I normally wouldn't choose to go and see. I love a Hollywood musical. I love the idea of the musical. So I took myself to see La La Land, and I almost vomited into an empty popcorn bucket that was next to me. I hated it from the get-go. It's contrived. It's beige. How the hell Ryan Gosling got that award, I do not know. I hated it.
Look, I think the main problem I have with it is false advertising for a start.
Yeah,
you know, every single trailer today, every little bit of blurb has pitched this as an old-fashioned Hollywood musical, and it's not true. I mean, I actually loved the opening number, the you know, shut down an LA motorway and do a big dance routine there. Then what it morphs into is a tired rerun of writer-director Damien Chazelle's jazz turbation that we've already seen in Whiplash.
Yes.
With a cheap rip-off of Blue Valentine as Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling go into this tedious maudlin, oh, our love of music and acting, and we're so different and we can't find a way to be together. And then on top of all of that, there's just nowhere. The actual Mandy Moore, not the Mandy Moore, but Mandy Moore's choreography is pedestrian. The score is forgettable. I was bored out of my mind for the majority of Blah Blah Bland.
And I was bloody annoyed.
And I am staggered that it is sweeping the board. But you know what? Sometimes the most populist, empty, vacuous dross does this. I mean,
we've seen this in the past.
We've seen it over and over and over. And Oscar in particular is, you know, is famed for triumphing mediocrity. Mm. And frankly, La La Land is mediocre.
Wow.
Kathy, you haven't seen it?
I haven't seen it, but now I don't know whether I'm kind of torn, because I really did want to see it and I have plans to actually see it tonight.
Now I'm
a little bit torn as to whether I should subject myself to such banal mediocrity.
But look, we're certainly in the minority, you know?
Somebody is almost suggesting I'm a curmudgeon. Pete, it's about combining two genres together into a modern context. I don't know what they are. You guys are harsh. It's a feel-good movie. My nephew, his Gen Y, loved it. I did a survey in my office.
Yeah.
Who are predominantly Gen Y and millennials. I asked the question, has anybody seen it? Yes. For those who had seen it, there was one young person in early mid-20s said, I hate musicals. I loved the film. Conversely, somebody else said, I love musicals. I hated the film.
Right.
Mm. I hated it. And I just want to say, Ryan Gosling, as bland, as dull as an arrowroot biscuit.
Look, if people want to see a really brilliant film musical about old Hollywood from last year, go see the Coen brothers' Hail Caesar, which
Correct.
Is an infinitely
awesome.
Better film.
And hilariously funny. Let's move on to some things that we believe, or some films that we believe should be on the list. Before we get there, I don't think that this is going to be anywhere near Oscar, but Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, which is the Harry Potter spin-off. You've seen it. I haven't yet. Should I go?
Absolutely. I mean, it's full of the Harry Potter magic, the creatures, the kooky performances. You know, it sets it back in the, I believe, oh goodness, I'm going to fall over on this now. I think it's the 20s.
Yes.
Yeah. And so it's kind of got that beautiful Art Deco style. And
the heyday of Hogwarts, they say. The heyday of Hogwarts.
Well, you don't see Hogwarts. There is a mention of Dumbledore, but it's set entirely in New York. And I believe we're going to see Dumbledore as a young man eventually.
Excellent. It's got to be Benedict Cumberbatch playing him, surely, or Fassbender.
Well, she subsequently revealed that he's also a gay man.
Correct.
So yes. Hopefully we might actually get some acknowledgement of that on screen, which would be lovely.
Eddie Redmayne, outstanding performance.
Oh, look, he's great fun. There's he's
much
such
you can't
a characteristic,
do,
characteristic actor with, you know, really fun text.
Another text that says it introduces jazz to a younger audience. Very well done in that respect. Still blah, blah, blah.
I just found it like a white person's take on jazz. Just
correct.
The most generic middle-of-the-road version, honestly. Even John Legend can't save it.
Well, and he can pretty much save anything. Let's move on to some films that we must talk about and go and see. Moonlight, which is an incredible story.
This looks fantastic. I haven't seen it yet. I know we've got a screening this week and it opens in late January, but it looks amazing.
Look, this is honestly one of the most staggering films I've ever seen. I literally walked out of it and I asked to be held for 5 minutes because
a stranger.
Did you have a nice date to do that?
No, it was a poor friend who had a soggy shoulder as I cried on him. But look, Barry Jenkins has created an incredibly beautiful film here, a stunning queer film to open the year. You know, just like Carol did last year, we're in such a purple patch. I'm really chuffed that the Queer Film Festival has this as a kind of, you know, signature film, because basically, it follows one young gay black man and his life in Miami, played by three different actors, and basically follows his struggle to accept his sexuality. It has all sorts of stuff going on about, you know, about gender norms, about what expectations. It's just so beautifully done. The cinematography is stunning. It's a very specific story about, it's a very specific black story, but it's also a very universal story about love. And I think as well, anyone who's ever been bullied at school will find
this is what I'm hearing most of all. And I reckon
incredible film.
From my point of view, this is it in Oscar contention?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think what shocked people most is this is a tiny, tiny independent film. You know, it's a black story. It's a queer story. It's got all of Hollywood prejudice going against it, and it is the second most nominated film after La La Land, and if there's any justice in the world, it will take down that mediocrity. I hope.
Excellent. We're getting message after message after message and loads of feedback about, and I think you're going to get all ecstatic about this, is Jackie. Natalie Portman is in career-defining best.
If Emma Stone wins that Oscar, I will be devastated. Natalie Portman.
Did you say you'd riot in the streets?
I will most likely take my television and throw it over my balcony and then jump after it. Like, Natalie Portman is absolutely career best here. The only other person who can hold a candle to her performance in this year's run is the magnificent Isabelle Huppert, who was fabulous in both Elle and Things to Come. But Natalie Portman as Jackie Kennedy in the week after the assassination and the horror of having to cope with immense personal grief, two young children, and also put on the public face of laying her husband to rest as the American president slain in such brutal fashion in front of her, and also secure his legacy. Pablo Larraín, who's a Chilean director, it's his first English language film. Honestly, I think sometimes these great American stories are best told from the outside
somebody
looking
else.
In. And this is staggering.
Another message, Stephen. She's Harvard educated as well. I think this is Natalie Portman, a smart actress, and she's the Meryl Streep for Gen Y. Another person saying the La La Land homage was beautiful.
Well, there you go. Look, the other thing I think is really important to say about Natalie's performance is, you know, sometimes when someone so takes on the accent and the look, they can be accused of mimicry. But she imbues this, you know, utterly destroyed strong woman trying to hold her world together with such human weakness, anger, strength, and love that they're, you know, they're, it's just not applicable.
Did she win an Oscar for Black Swan?
She did.
Okay.
And this should be number
should
two.
Another one. Yeah. Just very quickly with the last film, which has got a really strong Australian connection, Nicole Kidman and David Wenham with Dev Patel in Lion. I love this story.
It's just
I love it.
And the real boy, Saru Brierley, has actually been in town with his mum. Mm. Like, this is just amazing. He was lost in, on a busy, you know, Indian train station
in Calcutta.
In Calcutta, ended up, you know, in an orphanage, getting adopted by a Tasmanian couple, and then as a young man, deciding to take on this crazy quest to try and find his mum and
using Google Earth.
I know. Mm. And I don't know if there's something about, you know, my mother being half the planet away in Glasgow, but this destroyed me. Like, it's just such a beautiful film about, you know, how that bond can, you know, it's so strong that it can survive decades apart. And I don't want to say anything more about the plot because I don't want to spoil it.
But it's a beautiful film.
It's incredibly beautiful.
And Dev Patel, I think, again, outstanding. And he's done Slumdog Millionaire. He did the Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. I think he's a fine young actor.
And look, you know what? I'm gonna be magnanimous. If people lots of people love La La Land, fine, that's great. I'm glad people enjoy it. However, in such a strong category, we have some incredible stories, incredible performances. I'd really like to see some other films get a bit of love this season.
Let's finish this segment with this text from Aaron. It's talking about Moonlight is also the best reviewed film of 2016, has won more critics and director writing awards than La La Land. Best picture all the way in capital letters, says Aaron on Moonlight. Aaron, I think there's three people in this studio that may be inclined to agree with you.
Well, it's 98% on Rotten Tomatoes, and I don't know, you know, if we're using that one platform as a guide, but I think
I want to see what BAFTA does with best film first, because it's a less American.
Look, BAFTA gave so many. I think they gave 9 nominations to La La Land, and they also gave a ton to Nocturnal Animals, which I thought was also atrocious. So I'm not holding out faith on the Brits coming to our rescue.
Well, how does this all happen though? I mean, why
Golden Globes go first?
Why is it money? Is it money changing?
Absolutely. There's amounts of bribery and people like Harvey Weinstein who have unbelievable wealth at their command can obviously mount a much bigger campaign.
You can buy an Oscar. You can buy a Golden Globe. You can buy a BAFTA.
I
think the only thing you can't buy is a Tony. Because he's Broadway and no money. Stephen, always good to see you. We'll have you back in a little while, after the Oscars, to come back and we'll do a rather critical review indeed.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.